Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Okay, wait, no, don't drink. Cheers. Well, cheers. Well, I'm saying cheers. We got cheers first. First. That's the first one. What's going on, guys? Did you guys miss me? I feel like you did a little bit. From the outpouring of social media and everything that you guys were just saying, the love was definitely felt. And so now that you guys already know, yes, we are doing a Richard versus Channing podcast. And I know you guys listened to the first podcast with Channing and Allie, Jim Jones, and AC. We're going to get into that next. But first, I want to introduce my home host here in Denver. She's an amazing woman. She comes highly recommended by yours truly, Allie Clifton, a bit of a mentor of hers. But again, that's something that we'll talk about in a little bit. I'm not going to butcher her last name, but she is the in-game reporter for the Denver Nuggets. So she does everything there. So anytime we do anything home, she's going to be joining me when we get opposing players or different celebrities that aren't on the road. She's going to be joining me. Would you like to say your name so I don't screw it up?
Katie Wingy.
Katie Wingy. Like that.
Wingy is how you pronounce it.
Okay. She really pronounced that.
I did. That
right. Since we are in Denver and we have our in-game host, I'm going to screw that up. I'm going to call you reporter. In-game reporter. And now the one and only Justice Winslow. What's going on, brother? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Honestly, this is the easiest podcast we've had to do because we are both staying in the same hotel.
Yeah, simple.
It's the first one. How are you going to say this is the easiest podcast?
Well, I say it's the easiest because
logistically.
God, that's he's already using Duke words, but yeah. I can't stand. I hate that shit. And anytime the word D-U-K-E is said, we bleep it out.
I don't know why people hate on it so much.
Why? Why? Because you're elitist bastards. That's why.
Yeah. We are,
and that's what I'm saying.
It's okay.
See, and the thing, this is the thing that that bothers me about hating Duke. Like, I hated Duke before we lost to them in the national championship. Jeez, before we got cheated there, it does suck. But I hated them. I hated them well before that. But they enjoy being hated. Like, you guys embrace it. Like, no one likes us. But it's like, you know, it's like the frat boy that thinks he's too cool, right?
That's
like
a great comparison. Yeah.
It's not.
It is.
It's a great comparison, yeah.
Why is it? Why do you think people don't like Duke?
They hate us because they hate us.
Really? Because, so, yes. And so one of the things that, yeah, that's true. And so, you know, we mentioned my national championship game, right? So we lost to Jason Williams. Now, I don't know. Jason Williams was in the news a little bit ago because he started ratting out about how, we don't what? We don't. No. You don't just take one without taking them all. Because he was National Player of the Year. He won a national championship. So he has definitely been one of the faces of Duke. And the dude is a bona fide snitch. And I'm not talking about snitching from the standpoint of like, hey, like I'm doing what's right. There was an opportunity. Yeah, yeah. There was an opportunity for him you can downplay this shit. I'm going in. And this is the thing because I saw him last year and he came in or he invited me to do the McDonald's All-American game. I have a good relationship with Jay, even though I don't necessarily mess with him in every one of the situations. But when I saw what he did to my boy Kevin Love, and it was like, oh, well, we paid Kevin Love a bunch of money. And it's like, why are you doing this? You're literally only doing this to raise your own stature, your own level, and to bring attention to yourself. Like, tell me more about Duke.
We're not all like that.
We're not all like that? Oh, okay. Okay, so, and then there was that moment. And then there was that guy, Danny Ferry. You know, no, I'm joking. We're not going to go into that. That gets a little deep. Then I'll talk about like that. That's too deep. What are you? Now Katie wants to get quiet.
I got nothing to say.
There was a very fine Duke sorority flag football game today.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Very fine. In what way?
some good football.
Some good football. Yeah. But there's some great guys. Great Grant Hill, amazing dude. Elton Brand, one of the guys that, you know, every once in a while you get run-ins with guys that you don't necessarily play with, but you see them, you compete against them, you kind of crack jokes, you might see them in a bar or club, you have a good time. Elton is one of those good guys, was a great NBA guy. So I can't give it all. Like Shane, as much as I fucking hated Shane, you know what I'm saying? Like
he works for us now.
Yeah, well, he's always worked for the man. It's cool, man. Like that's just Shane. So, yeah. But I have a lot of respect for him and what he accomplished in his career. But yeah, you come from a long line of NBA guys.
We got a lot this year coming out too. We got a lot more in store.
Is Grayson Allen going to be one of them?
Yeah, that's my guy.
How's he going to do?
I think he's going to learn how to lead. That's a big thing for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he'll be mid first round, late first round.
Mid first round, because a lot of people had him National Player of the Year last year before he started tripping everyone. No, and it's fine. It's again because the reason why it was so uncharacteristic is because no one ever took people from Duke as whiny privileged kids. So like when he didn't get a call and he tripped someone, like no one was like, oh wow, that's out of the character. It's not like Shane Bad Christian Laettner didn't step on someone's chest. Yeah. This is nothing to do with Duke.
I kind of created the monster though.
Did you?
Because we went out at freshman year. We went at it and it was mostly my fault. Like I would just foul him unnecessarily.
As you should.
Yeah, and he would kind of just foul me back. He would kind of do not to the extent that he did last year, but he would kind of blow up like that a little bit.
Well, but you've been in this league now for 3 years. It's your third year. This is your third. You've been in the league 3 years. All right. Oh, yeah. I'll give you 3 years, young fella. Don't worry about that.
I'm
counting 17.
All right. There you
right?
Go.
So I'm counting this. And I've only played 6 minutes this year. We'll talk about that later. But yeah.
Yes,
so
will.
Yeah. I still count
good,
that.
Man.
But yeah. But you know that half this battle is keeping your mind, keeping your brain straight. So you should. Like, again, I'm old and I'll always reference like old names, but I played against Jason Terry, who is still in the league, right? We were in school together, played against Gilbert Arenas, Luke Walton, who's the head coach of the Lakers.
Gilbert Arenas.
Yeah,
he's a top five social media follower.
Like, yeah, but I don't know if we can really talk about it only from the standpoint of like, it's so inappropriate.
Yeah, we can't talk about it.
Well, no, we can. I don't care. We can talk about anything. But I'm just saying like, we competed so heavy and so hard in practice. And so part of it is like if you compete against high-level people like that in practice, when I get to the game, it's easy. Yeah. It's easy. So you should have whooped his ass.
Yeah, but he always had like – so coming in, it was Tyus Jones and Jahlil. They were the package. Then I kind of came along. And then Grayson was kind of like the forgot-about fourth guy.
So understandably.
He always had that chip on his shoulder. And, yeah, he just
– he just didn't
– he's a little crazy. Yeah. Which is good. You got to be crazy.
Were you guys roommates?
Yeah.
How'd that go? My roommate was Luke Walton.
Like at this very moment, he's like top, like one of my best friends. But we didn't get along when we first got there. I was like, "Who is this white boy? Like, F out of here! Like, it's the big three. Like, you're just tagging along, whatever." And so we would go out in practice. I'll foul him, go back to the room. We wouldn't talk.
Yeah,
that's rough living conditions.
But
our story taught me like just so much about. Like enjoying someone else's success because I was so selfish. All I was worried about freshman year at the beginning was getting to the league, and my play was just started to go down. And then once I started enjoying, you know, other people's stuff, you know, whatever, started to pick up. But you know, second semester was a ball with that guy.
Yeah,
I'm talking.
Once you kind of looked at him, it was like,
you're kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, you're kind of cool too. All right, let's hang out.
Let's
What was like that moment? Did you have a moment with him where you were like, you know what, you're not so bad?
Were there girls involved?
Yeah.
Were there? Listen,
Turnover.
It's okay.
That moment, it gradually came, but it was probably, the national championship game was just like, all right.
You guys won it that year, right? No one gives a shit.
Yeah.
I never watched it.
Beat Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
But it took winning a national championship.
No, it didn't take that.
But like that was like all right, because we were down in that game and he came in like gave us a bunch of energy, scored what 16, 17 points, like 10 straight, and I was like, all right, that's my guy.
That's my guy. Yeah, that's my guy. That's my dog. I always knew you were my dog.
But there was a time, I'm not gonna get into specifics, but. There was a time
you can get into specifics. We have no rush. We got all day.
Well, there's some stuff I probably wasn't allowed to do at that age.
What? Drinking? Like what? We all drank
We started playing this game where we would play 2K, and every time another person makes a three, you'd have to take a shot, whatever. So we did that.
And let me rephrase this. This was a pre-party, wasn't it?
Yeah, the pre-game. We went to a formal.
Okay. Sorority?
Yeah.
What was a sorority?
It was like three sororities.
Okay. Oh, yeah. The joint sorority
party. Was this before or after the football game?
No, Duke football. Oh, my God.
No, I'm talking about the sorority football game.
After. So then we just pound this bottle of Apple Crown and we go. You're supposed to have like an invite, but we're just like, we'll go.
Yeah. As you should.
As you should. You don't need
that. I think that was when I was like, all right, you my dog.
Yeah, your dog.
Yeah.
See, I see my roommate situation. He's the head coach of the Lakers. Everyone thinks he's fucking cool. I think he's a little bit annoying because he hasn't been on the podcast, right? But it was the same thing. So, like, we met on our visit, right? And we were both rookies or whatever. And so. We were both played the exact same position. So when they thought one would go to UCLA, one would go to Arizona, because we were both West Coast kids. We both go to Arizona, and we show back up on campus. But at that point in time, we're just like, yo, what's up? What are we doing? He's from San Diego. I'm from Phoenix. So we were local boys both going to the school, because our school is a ton of
– Trust me, I made many visits to that school.
To Arizona?
For basketball and for, a special person.
Yeah. A special person? Do we care to share that?
No, we're not going to share that.
But it's a great school, though, isn't it?
No, it's all right. I mean, isn't the practice facility named after you?
Yeah. We didn't have to get into that. Yeah, the Richard
Jefferson.
The Richard Jefferson Gymnasium. Yeah, go ahead, young fella. Keep talking about it. It's pretty nice, Jim, right? What are you talking about?
It's a top. It's better than most NBA facilities.
Yeah.
Respect.
Yeah, ho, ho, hum. No one cares. Everyone has a scrapbook. But
That campus is ridiculous.
Go ahead and say it.
I wouldn't survive.
No, but this is what I said. So we showed up there, right? No bullshit. They had just won the national championship in 97, right? We show up there, and we go around for one day, and we were like, and because they were gods.
It's not real.
It's not real. No one understands until you experience. And
Duke
here
doesn't
we
have that aspect.
Thank you. And so, Duke, this is a national champion. This is a lottery pick. McDonald's All-American.
You've seen it all.
Arizona. You've seen it most. If you win a national championship,
Duke has like a more of a classy fan base. It's not like it's different. It's not the. It's crazy fans.
No, you have kids.
You let them be like that more classy fans.
100%, they do.
It is. It's the tri-state.
Yeah, you got.
We don't even have fans in North Carolina. Like to be honest, all the ladies that work on campus, like
Hey.
Oh, the Tar Heels on beach. I'm like,
the Tar Heels. But see, this is the thing that's different about our school. And like Duke is number one, right, in the country.
Of course.
Get the fuck out of here. But Arizona's starting number three, right? So Arizona's number three in the country. And that's what's cool about sitting down and having these conversations. Like, when I graduated high school, my first year in school, you 98? Were 98. You were two years old. But think about it. So you were 2 years old. And then now here we are. Duke's number one, Arizona's number three. My last year in school, we were number one, Duke was number two. You know what I'm saying? Then we meet in the championship. So there's always a bond, even though I fucking hate Duke with a passion.
You wish you would have got that scholarship.
No, shit, me. who was better than me that was at Duke? There was nobody. The only person that went there was Corey Maggette, because they only had one scholarship because they were bringing back a bunch of guys.
You little salty.
Yeah, no, right? I tell you. I told a lot of schools no. Like, make no mistake. And I don't think there's anybody still from my class even holding on anymore right now. Zach Randolph, but he was younger. But that's the thing that's cool, and why, for people that need to understand is that, I appreciate you one coming on here, because this is something that as players, we should always support each other in any venture, anytime we get an opportunity to do it. But no matter what, if we were in a locker room together, we are always going to talk shit Duke, Arizona.
Yeah, for sure.
Doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? So like Kyrie, my guy, right? I know you guys fans. I know you guys got a lot of emotion when it comes to Kyrie. Kyrie's still my guy. Because at the end of the day, you can never erase what you did. What did you say? The minute Grayson Allen goes and has 16 points in that national championship game, you're like, that's my dog. That's my guy. And it's the same thing with Kyrie. No matter what, for the rest of my life, I will be indebted to him for that shot that he took. But that being said, the last game he ever played was against Arizona. And he lost.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And he lost. D-Will was lighting his ass up. D-Will. Right? And so, but then it's funny because
Kyrie. I played with D-Will.
But it's the number one pick and the number two pick, right? So it's like when you go to these schools, the Arizona, the North Carolinas, the Michigan States, like when you go to – I don't even put UCLA there now anymore. But when you go –
put them in there.
With Lonzo?
Yeah, but it's just Lonzo. Like
you got Zach, you got K-Love, you got Westbrook.
No. So they had a stretch. But I'm talking about like right now. Are they still a powerhouse?
No.
They go up and down. No, I'm not going to disrespect
UCLA. Kansas, Duke, North Carolina,
UCLA,
Arizona.
Like the Pac 12, the Pac
State, maybe
Michigan State. I would count them, but the Pac 12 is the greatest basketball conference in the country.
Why
so,
though? Like, what have y'all ever done?
We're the conference of champions. All right. We have more national championships than any other
thing.
School.
This is my thing.
Don't, no, okay, give me your thing.
So when people have their team, say your team is the Cowboys,
mm-hmm.
or say your team are the Dolphins. Like, I don't want to hear about championships like before the civil rights movement.
But why the fuck did you go to Duke then? Like, because it was like you went there because of the legacy from you went there, you won a national championship when you were two.
No.
You don't think that Mike Krzyzewski showed you that ring, that bullshit ass cheating ring?
I went there because my two friends went there.
That's why
I really want to go to Florida. Seriously, I want to go to Florida. My mom made me go to Duke.
That's adorable.
No, it's a true story. I played for Billy Donovan, Team USA.
Billy Donovan is great.
I was a huge, huge Florida football fan. And then it transferred over to basketball, and I was like, all right, let's go. Corey Brewer, Joakim Noah.
They were nice. They were one of the guys that, like, it takes a lot for NBA guys because you know this. You play one season in the NBA, and you go back and look at college, and you're like, oh, that shit's trash.
Trash.
You're like, I don't even.
I struggle watching dudes.
Yeah, you struggle watching. You're like, they don't even know. Every once in a while, you'll see a player that's worth watching. But those boys, they were a team that was worth watching, right?
Yeah.
Because you knew they had three guys. They won the national championship. They all came back. You know why they came back? Because they were fucking gods on that campus.
For sure.
They were gods.
How do you pass that up?
You can't. You literally can't.
We almost came back.
And do you – okay, so you did it your freshman year, and this is something that the one-and-done thing is a little bullshit to me. I think you should be able to go. Do you regret not going? Because my thing is this. If you could go back
– Regret not
– Do you regret not playing – like if
– If there was a two-year rule, I wouldn't have – it would have been whatever.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You would have enjoyed that second year.
Oh, for sure.
You know, but
I go back all the time.
And I can't go back anymore because it looks weird.
I'm still technically.
Too old.
You're still within that range. That's fine. You can do it for like another two, 3 years.
No,
Trust me. No one's listening. You can go
soak
back.
That up as long as you can.
Yeah, soak that up as long as you can. Because I mean it from a standpoint of like you can go back there and you can train, you can bullshit, you can go to football games, you can go to basketball games.
But
Duke football. Like I hate Duke so much that anytime I see their football team fucking lose, I get excited. Right?
That's crazy.
It's just the truth. This is not
Arizona's football team is so good though.
They're trash. But no. This year we were balling. This is the first time that our team is really in a while really kind of stepped up. We have a guy that people are saying is a Heisman Trophy candidate. I'm trying to remember his name off the top of my head. That just shows you.
That's an issue.
No, because I don't watch Arizona football because they will rip your heart out.
If the guy's really that good, you know what I mean?
Well, I've just been like, first of all, you have to have a string of weeks put together in order for me to start paying attention, you know, but
football's struggling right now.
Hey, road tripping fans, ever heard of MeUndies? If not, take a listen. MeUndies makes feel good undies your butt will be proud to wear. They will be the most comfortable pair of underwear you will ever own. And to check it out yourself, I encourage you to go to MeUndies.com/road. Why? Well, with tons of styles and patterns to choose from for both men and ladies, MeUndies will have the perfect fit for any personality. The MeUndies feeling is unmatched because they are naturally a soft fabric that is 3 times softer than cotton. And so for a limited time only, I urge you to check out MeUndies' first ever glow-in-the-dark print, Lights Out. Why not update your underwear drawer and glow at the same time? And hey, if underwear isn't your thing, I get it, I understand, but MeUndies, they also make the softest socks in the world. Didn't you know? To get 20% off the best and softest underwear and socks you'll ever own, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/road. That's MeUndies.com/road.
Yeah, okay, so let's segue. You're a Houston guy. Last night was...
Let's go.
So I was born
Houston
in...
Astronauts, baby.
Yeah, so I was born in L.A., right? I wouldn't call myself a Dodger fan. I'm not going to go that far. But I do respect all my Dodger fans. I have a lot of friends that are Dodger fans. And like this...
Can I say F the Dodgers?
Fuck, you can say whatever you want.
Fuck the Dodgers. Yeah.
You can say whatever you want. That's a beautiful thing.
I'm so used to just like, you know, like the media, you can't really...
Nah, that's not... But that's why the media loves this and the media hates this. Right. Because you get a chance to kind of view and speak whatever the hell you want. But go ahead and say it one more time.
Fuck the Dodgers.
Yo, but how about those Astros? That was impressive.
The thing with me, I'm not going to sit up here and tell you I'm a diehard. I wouldn't say I'm a diehard, but when someone asks me what's my team, I say Astros. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's a tough time right now. Because
you're Houston.
It's a tough time right now, but I'm an Astros fan. And they got good, and they're like, who's your team? I'm like, the Astros. But chill.
Yeah.
Not getting ahead of ourselves.
Chill.
Yeah.
I mean, the Red Sox, Yankees, Dodgers.
Yeah. See, I didn't have a team growing up. I didn't have a team growing up because I...
Join the wave.
No.
Join the wave.
I'm not a bandwagon guy because, like, so I grew up in Phoenix and the Diamondbacks. We got the Diamondbacks when I was in... I think I was a senior in high school. It was the first year of the Diamondbacks, right? I know. It was a long time. It was like 98.
I was one.
You were one. Yeah, whatever. Two. Kiss my ass. Right? So you were 1 year old, whatever. But I'm saying, so like I couldn't join on the, you know, who I liked the most. I liked the Atlanta Braves because they were always on TV. They had Maddox, they had Glavin, they had Smoltz, they had Chipper Jones, they had Andrew Jones, and they were always on TV. So that was the team that I kind of just watched a lot, yeah. Because they were always in the playoffs. And so I wouldn't say they were my favorite team, but that was a team that I probably watched the most.
Across the country, but
we're always on TV.
But because it was TBS, first of all, people became Jordan fans and are Knick fans or are Reggie Miller fans because they were always on TV.
No, because they're bandwagon fans.
Really? Because when you look at the NBA,
you go to your local listings and you turn on your home team.
It's not the local listings.
The local listings.
Oh my God! It's not the local listings.
Pull up the TV guide and see what's on.
Yeah.
Or what?
Well, that's true. Whatever. I don't care. I was 13 and you were
still
a gleam in your dad's eye. You know what I'm saying?
World Series, whatever you want to call it, Houston Astros, baby, H-Town. You know,
congratulations. And then you followed up one of the best days in sports by one of the worst days in sports in Houston. No, it is. It is. This is one.
I was injured last year. It's not a bad day. No.
The future is going to be fine, but today is a shitty day. Okay.
No, today is just...
Going
through my injury and being out 6 months, it's just a lesson.
How would you describe the day for the Texan fans and Deshaun Watson? Because...
Disappointing. It's not a sad day. It's disappointing.
Fuck.
Learn
that.
How to use your words, Arizona.
No, listen.
Learn how to use your words.
I'm going to politely and respectfully, or maybe disrespectfully, disagree.
It's a disappointing day. It's not sad. They're not sad. We're disappointed.
But
because there was so
but,
much
but,
promise.
What I'm trying to do, and again, you say promise implying that it's gone, right, Duke boy? So what I'm trying to say here is that from a guy that, again, I loved watching him play. I love watching what he's done this year. He was
seen him play in the Final Four.
That's what I'm saying. And so, and again, this is completely regardless of the fact that he's on my fantasy football team. No, because that will dehumanize players. And I don't want to do that, right? And so,
yeah,
it does dehumanize players, and that's not cool. Because like, oh fuck my fantasy, that's such bullshit. And it's like, dude, like this dude is a man that's chasing his dreams, trying to feed his family, and like he's giving his heart and soul to a city. He gave his first paycheck to a charity foundation. Mm-hmm. And this is a guy that is all about doing everything the right way. So you root for this guy. And so that was part of the reason why I drafted him, like, because he wasn't a highly draft pick in fantasy, but I was like, yo, I like this kid. I like what he's about. So to see him go down, like, it is a sad day. I'm sad. No, because, okay.
No, I feel you. I'm just fucking
You're just fucking with me. Okay. Because I was like, Gordon Hayward, that's my guy. I play with him.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's not sad? Oh, that's just... Oh, now look at the expression on your face. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now when it's a little bit more relatable, it's like...
And Gordon, he's number 20.
Yeah, and Gordon is going to be back next season better than ever. That's my guy. Like, I texted him right after, and, you know, the text message I sent to him, I was like, dude, don't listen to anybody else. Don't do this for anybody else. Don't try to prove anything wrong. You have two beautiful daughters. You have an amazing wife. The best thing that you can do right now is to show your daughters the type of man you are by being able to come back and having this only be a setback. And so, like, yeah, like, these injuries fucking suck. You know what I'm saying? But back to my original point, this is a sad day for Houston.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you.
You can't say it's a sad day, though. Like, it's bittersweet.
We lost our best player.
There's nothing sweet about this.
No, but, like, the day after the World Series, like, you can't sit here and be like, it's a sad day for Houston. The parade will lift us back up.
Yeah, the parades are great. The parades are great.
I wouldn't know anything. But, I mean,
you do. You didn't have a parade at Duke?
I'm telling you, Duke.
That's such
different.
A shitty school.
It's
different. That's too classy for parades.
That's too classy for. We had a banquet. You fucking clapped.
We had the banquet.
Okay. So what we like to call them in the NBA, as you know, we like to call them team meetings, where it's like the team gets together, right? So you do the team meeting where it's like, guys, we won the championship. It's just going to be us, and we're going to go to this place, and we're going to take it over. Did you guys have one of those? Or did you guys, like, fucking play Parcheesi or something? Like, what did Duke boys win after they win the championship?
We did that meeting when we went to the White House. We went out the night before.
In D.C.? God, that's tough, because you guys are so young. I know you were the national champions. I know you
were connected.
That's no disrespect.
No. I think, like, honestly, it was more of like a two-week high. It wasn't like one night that was like the team meeting night or whatever. It was like just I wish I could tell you about it, but I don't remember doing backflips off the wall into beanbags, like just carrying speakers down the street, making punch, like texting anybody back.
So we. Again, I lost in the national championship game, but at that point in time, when you know,
it's fucking, okay, man.
You don't fucking stop touching me. Don't pet me. You know what I'm saying? No, I say this for a relatability, right? Like, I watched your national championship game. It was a great game. I lefty, all this stuff about you, because I watch these games and, like, oh, he's going to be a top five pick. You're a two guard / small forward. You play a little bit of both. And I look at it from the standpoint, I was like, fuck, I'm going to have to guard this kid.
I remember I saw you one of my first days in Miami.
Yeah, I did.
Outside of the JW.
Because I was staying there. Yeah. No, I was staying there because we were doing our first team workout with Bron and them. That was my first year.
I remember that.
And so, and I've always tried to make a point from the day I got here. Anytime I would see a rookie or a young guy, especially
someone I love that though. That's the one thing I don't think people realize about the NBA. Much as we like want to win and hate each other, like we care about each other much more than people think.
Yeah, and that's
because we go through it and we know the joy.
Like the minute I see you, you know, the minute I see you get drafted, win a championship, all that stuff. It takes me back to my childhood. Yeah. And so when I see you get drafted and then I'm randomly at the JW Marriott, and it's tough to, like, when you're 15 years in the league, you don't recognize rookies and all that sort of stuff. But I was like, yo, remember this kid. I remember watching the Final Four. Yeah. I remember him balling. And I went and said to you, I was like, yo, congratulations.
Yeah, you did.
Good luck. I don't know this kid. He's with the fucking Duke. The fact that he even got a congratulations.
He knew me.
Google me, bitch.
Wikipedia page.
Yeah. The fact that you even got a hello from me should say some shit, right? But it's like.
He wanted my autograph. He wanted a pic.
Whatever.
He wanted on that.
Yeah, he wanted a pic.
Like, who's this kid right here? I was light as that. Man, I was like, if I was 10 years younger, you know how I did it. Yeah, but no, but that's. But you're.
That, yo, that, but that been, dunk, though.
Which one?
You know the one. You know, yeah, the recent one.
See,
I got small hands, so I can't really palm the ball.
The
but
interview.
I'm going to be really honest. Not everybody's blessed with the gifts and tools that I have, so don't feel bad about yourself.
No. Listen. I am just as athletic as you. I just got these small mitts, bro.
Oh,
you see them?
Yeah, those Donald Trump hands.
Yeah.
Like, look at those things.
He went there.
No, like, for real, like, my teammates call me baby hands.
Oh, that's adorable. But you know what's messed up is, like, so it's not even my hands. So I have big paws.
You really want to match up right now?
Yeah, let's match
because
up. Let me see.
You cannot tell anybody.
First of all, okay.
You cannot tell anybody.
I won't tell anybody. But I will say this. Allie Clifton, right?
Shout out to Allie.
No, I'm not ready for this yet.
No. Guys. So Allie Clifton has hands the same size as me, and she's gonna be so mad. She's like, people are always.
Nah, they're really small though.
Let me see. It's okay. You're in a safe place.
Like, this is the one thing I'm insecure about. The one thing.
We could find more, but come on.
I was gonna say the one thing.
Oh, that's adorable. Oh my god. That just affects your wingspan, everything. That could affect your draft. She wants to put her hands. Put them up. How tall are you? How tall are you, Katie? 5'10". Oh, no,
he's got a good amount on
you. Yeah,
but you're also not an NBA and not having to guard Kawhi Leonard and that's LeBron all these dudes every night.
Those boys.
Not because I don't want to.
Like, if I could dribble and just palm off the dribble, like, I can kind of, like, I can do it when I'm just messing around, but.
Honestly, I've done it since I was 15. It's overrated.
No, it's not.
It's not. Because I.
No, it's really not.
So if I had
like a half inch on each hand, first of all, that's
extra dunks in your career. So what's so funny is this. So I get to. And they want to poke and prod you. Like they always do, right? So they're like, we need to take your height and wingspan. And I'm like, dude, I'm 6'7". So they get my height. And they're like,
well, 6'6".
So they go like this. They go, we need to do your wingspan. And I'm like, dude. Okay, I have a 7-foot wingspan. They're like, whatever. So I put my arms out, wings out, and the guy comes with, no, you got to move your hand down. So what is it, 6'9"? And the guy at the other end goes, 6'11 and a half. And I was like, yeah, damn right. Big hands with a 7-foot wingspan, right? Like that's the only reason why, like, I get that thing in my right hand, and then I go long arm. And people, like, again.
If I could long arm it, I would have been.
You would have been number one pick.
I would have been top four.
Top four? But it's
top five. Top. I would probably.
Top five. But I'm just, first of all.
No, it's a serious thing.
It's a serious
thing. Like,
question.
If I ever, like, don't catch a pass or, like, miss a layup, like, I'll run down the court and my teammates on the bench will just go like this. It's baby hands.
That's so
tomorrow when you see this.
God. The baby hands. That's what they do in the baby hand. No, man. But look.
You can't have everything. No, like, I got the hair. I got the looks. I got the shoulders.
And you're humble. Like, don't forget that. But the humility part is huge. Like, I wish I had Steph Curry's jumper. It's cool.
It's all
like,
good.
Not everybody has things, But, man, I think you're going to be just okay. How are you feeling, man? How's the shoulder, everything getting?
It's good. Tough off season, but the thing I learned is just if you always feel good, you never have to. Does that make sense? If you're always feeling good, then you never have to worry about feeling bad. So that's the thing I learned this off season.
Okay.
And I lost a lot of weight.
You did, which is good. No, losing weight in this league is
it's the way to go.
It's the way to go. Like, people try, like, not everyone can carry the weight like Bron.
No.
Not everyone, like, there's certain guys, but as you get older, as you start to see how much wear and tear you put on your body, 5 pounds is a fucking huge
over
difference.
10 years.
Over 10 years. That's a lot of steps. That's a lot of like ligament damage. That's a lot of cartilage gone every single time you have to take those steps, because it's just one of those things that you see yourself. Okay, if I want to play 15 years, I can't be like, I want to be this, because quickness wins in this game.
Yeah.
Quickness wins.
Speed. Quickness, speed. Yeah.
Yeah. See, it's not big hands and long arms. Although I'm not complaining about my hips.
Yeah.
You come from a little bit of a basketball legacy that people might not know.
Yeah, my dad was a part of the Phi Slamma Jamma.
That shit is amazing.
Hey, Slamma Jamma, baby.
University of Houston.
So, like, you do you?
Feel I don't understand it.
You don't understand it. You, no. Okay. Thank you. You understand because
he answered
so,
before you
I understand that I don't understand
you
it.
You understand that you don't understand. Okay, yeah. That's fair. Because
you can't. Like, I mean, there's no way for me to understand how, like, you going to Arizona. I kind of get the idea, but, like, I don't know.
No, and that's what's it's kind of cool.
It was a different basketball, like, environment then too. Like, people used to really go outside and hoop all day.
So like for the young listeners out there, the Phi Slamma Jamma, they were the first. Like,
they're like a dunking basketball fraternity.
Basketball, so, like, again, old New Jersey Nets, or you would go the Showtime Lakers, like,
or UNLV.
UNLV, like, there's enough where it's just like all like the way Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors shoot
the
threes.
That's
the way Phi Slamma Jamma dunked the ball.
That's a good comparison.
They had Clyde Drexler, they had Hakeem Olajuwon, like, those guys were obviously studs, and they had a bunch of other guys that were just really athletic.
Michael Young,
they were outstanding. So, this is the thing, like. Being a legacy, like, people know your pops, like, the people constantly come up to you and tell you. You had to grow up hearing that from people. Like,
yeah. For, like, I mean,
especially growing up in Houston.
Every ref would be like, hey, I played with your pops back in your day. Your pops was a bad man. Your pops was a bad man, Hey, Jack Yates High School, hey. And I'm just, like, I think it wasn't probably until... Honestly, I got the Duke that I was no longer Ricky Winslow's son.
Yeah.
And I was Justice Winslow.
Did that made you happy?
It was tight, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, no one wants to live in a shadow their whole life. You know what I mean? Like, but
okay, but
it is what it is.
But it gives you an advantage. It does give you an advantage from this an early on advantage. I'm not going to disrespect your work ethic, your
talent, I think
your ability, but it gives you.
I was around the game.
You were around the game. You know that you were around the game, and so. You know, I look at my son, like when we won the championship, he is on my lap when we're taking our picture at two. So it's like, you know, 15 years from now, hopefully he has, you know, the ability to go and they're like, hey, I play with your dad and blah, you know what I'm saying? Like that hey, for me,
your pops late, RJ, RJ was bad man.
He's getting that one hand, that one arm. Oh, he was in trouble.
Hey, you remember what he did to Clay? Remember what he did to Clay?
Oh,
Christmas Day, everybody was watching that shit. You know what I'm saying? So, but that's what I'm saying. Like, though, like, you know, I know that's a proud moment for your pops. Like, just, you know,
yeah,
like,
for
what
sure.
you've accomplished. But yeah, no, it is tough because, you know, you look at the legacies that go on in this league, like, you know, even being around Mike Dunleavy last year and Luke Walton, because he was the first one. Like, it took him to get into the league and to win a championship. And even though he was a complimentary player on all those teams, it was like, it was always Bill
his
Walton.
Dad
his dad is hilarious.
I'll watch some Pac-12
basketball just for his pop. But it was always Bill Walton's son Luke. And then it became Luke Walton, Bill Walton's son. So like then all of a sudden his name became first. And there's pressure kind of being the legacy. Not like bad pressure, but there's like attention where you're just like, fuck, everybody wants to talk about my
dad. Live Up to Your Name. It's a great song. Yeah. I don't know if you heard it. You probably heard it.
Who is it by? We don't have all, like, we have all day, but we don't have all day with this shit.
No. I mean, you know, with technology nowadays, you can pretty much do a lot of
things. We're
going
to see how fast you are with them thumbs.
These baby thumbs.
For any It's Always Sunny fans out there, if you guys remember Charlie's uncle that had the baby hands.
It's not really
Charlie's
that important.
Uncle,
it's all
Charlie,
good.
Charlie, no, it's fine. Charlie's uncle, the lawyer, always had these small baby hands. I don't know. It just, that's what it reminds me of. If there's any It's Always Sunny fans out there.
I'm Charlie who?
Charlie. If you remember that's all I remember.
Before my time.
Before your time? That's fine. That's cool. No one cares.
Oh, I found it, I think.
Take your time, dude.
Like, yeah.
Baka not nice. Live up to my name.
Baka.
Should have had you hum a few bars.
Yeah.
You want to?
You got bars?
I'm going to go to the...
Okay, well, you got to give me a beat if you want to give us some.
Nah,
okay.
Just know the song. It's a...
Tell us the song. Tell us who it's by.
It's Live Up to My Name.
Okay.
Baka Not Nice is the artist, I think.
Do you have any kids? Not that you know of.
I have none that I know of.
Let me say this.
I don't know how to word that. I don't have any.
There you go. Because there's not that many noble people out there that are going to raise kids with you making that amount of money and not fucking just showing up. So I will say this. So I have little Richard. Little Dicky, Dick Danger. That's his nickname, right? That's my guy, Richard Dominus, right?
What are you gonna call him though, for real?
I don't know because so growing up, my pops.
You never went by Dicky, did you?
No. My pops was Big Richard, right? It was Big Richard, and I was always Little Richard. Now my pops is 6'2" and about 400 pounds, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
Big Rich.
That's what everybody say. Everybody, yo, Big Rich. And so then I was Little Rich. Now he's 6'2". I'm 6'7". So like that was my whole thing. Is like
he could be Baby Rich for a little bit.
No, but that's what I'm saying. He's Baby Rich. That's what he is. Luke Walton's little boy.
You call him Boy Rich.
Boy Rich? No, we're not. He's a boy. Yeah, I'm a boy, Damon. No, he is a boy. But that's the thing, like, for me, like, seeing my little guy, and he's so addicted to basketball, and he so loves it, and it's like, I'm going to try.
You're going to wear him out.
No, and I don't wear him out because, like, all he wants to do is that, because that's what he sees. I got to get this story because I told this story, right? This is my son. He's 2.5 years old. Listen to this shit, right?
Talking about babies now.
No, but you're going to like this story because it's relatable. Listen,
quickly.
You dick. Just let me
I have kids.
Let me tell
Very
my
relatable.
Story.
I have kids.
You're going to like this story, and you'll see when it's relatable, right? So my son is 2.5 years old, and some of the listeners out there, you guys have seen little videos of Little Rich. Like, he likes basketball. So he's crying. I haven't seen him in a month because, whatever, I got traded here, whatever. So he's crying, and I'm talking to my wife. She gets on. She's like, oh, he's upset. And she's like, I tried to put a basketball movie on, but he just now all of a sudden he's upset. So I was like, well, put it on FaceTime, right? And I'm like, what's going on, buddy? And he's like, I want to go to the game. And I'm like, oh, buddy. And so I was like, my babe, what do you got? I'm watching. I was like, mommy's putting on some games. She's like, yeah, I put on Space Jam for him. And so I'm like, buddy, what's going on? She's like, oh, he's like, I want to go to the game. I'm like, buddy, you're going to be here in like a week. You're going to go to the game, right? Trust me, you're going to go to all the games as soon as you get here. He's like, no, I want to go to that game. This motherfucker thought that there was cartoons playing real basketball with real people. Try explaining to a 2.5-year-old that's addicted to basketball and cartoons that shit he's watching ain't real.
You don't.
Cartoons is one thing. Basketball's another thing. And so all of a sudden he sees Michael Jordan playing with Bugs Bunny and he's like, what the fuck is going
on?
He was like, you guys have been hiding this shit.
I wish I really believed it was real too. Like, that would be tight.
That's what I'm saying. At 2.5, he got emotional because he was like, this existed and you guys have not showed this to me? And I was like, oh, buddy, that game's not real, man. That's not a real game. And he just was not having it. Like, he was emotionally upset because he thought that there was really a game where cartoons played basketball with real people. Now, is that
that'd be
fucking
tight. The best cartoon would probably be
some superhero. X-Men?
Nah, no superhero. They lame.
Wow, here we go. He's not a Marvel guy, I see.
I go with I feel like my man's from Fantastic Four might be nice. Is he a superhero technically?
Yeah.
He got 100%. The longest wings.
Because it was like some sort of like space burst that gave them all their superpowers or whatever.
Bad example, my bad.
Yeah, it was a really shitty example. But yeah, whatever. We went from a great story about Little Rich and Space Jam to that story. It's cool. No, so Justice, one of the things that, you know, we've been talking to your people and I was like, yo, man, I'd love for
people.
Yeah, your people from Rock Nation. Like, I gotta do, oh God, here we go.
Does the hands.
Here we go.
It's Hulk. Hey yo, Pete, where's Blue?
Oh, here we go. You see these kids these days. So, but we've been talking to your people and I'm trying, so I know we're deep into the podcast, but the Atlanta Hawks, Kent Bazemore, one of my young boys, I had him as a rookie. He's going to do this podcast for the Atlanta Hawks. Him, Mike Muscala, Annie Finberg, they're going to start doing that. And you might say the Atlanta Hawks are going through a rebuilding phase, but every team has a story to tell, right? Every player has a story to tell. There could be the Golden State story. There could be the last place team story. Everyone has a story to tell. And you're great at this, man. If you ever wanted to jump on this and do this with the Heat, man, you see how easy this shit is.
Yeah, like, just need a
couple of mics, a couple of boxes.
Chardonnay.
That's what I'm saying.
Get it popping.
And the cool thing about this and one of the reasons why we started this is because these conversations that you and I can have are unlike any other conversation that you can get in an interview, that you can get anywhere else. So
the interview stuff isn't real. Let me just tell everybody out there.
Tell everybody.
It's not
like it is.
I got to be Duke, and I got to be, we didn't defend the ball screens, and we didn't. You know, personally, I wouldn't call a teammate out, but you got to be so
politically correct. Right. Yeah, no, and that's the thing, because that's the respectful thing to do. But on this platform.
Is it the respectful thing to do? Better than being real?
No, because the best thing that you can do real is say that to that individual personally. Because one thing that you don't ever want to do is I can't call somebody out in the media, but then not want to say something to you in the locker room.
We dealt with that this year already. Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Those team meetings are real.
Oh, yeah. No, you know, Channing, I just listened to Channing on his podcast, and they've had a couple of team meetings. Some
brought three straight, four straight?
Four straight they've lost, right? But again, this is going to air.
LeBron ain't worried.
Yeah, this is going to air Wednesday or Thursday. So by then, hopefully, they'll have a win. But I listened to their podcast, and as you guys know, we're doing a Richard versus Channing thing, and I just want to first and foremost apologize to all you fans because I was the only
you're the missing link.
Let's be honest here.
That veteran experience is missing.
But listen, chemistry is a fickle bitch, right?
Chemistry is real.
Chemistry is real.
And, I learned that at Duke. The more you really get along and like your teammates, it's real.
On and off the court, you fight for each other, and that has nothing to do. They are going to figure it out. We won a championship 2 years ago, and there's only five players still left from that championship team. And they're
who
going,
is it? LeBron,
it was
K-Love,
LeBron,
Shump,
K-Love,
Shump, JR,
Channing Tristan, So is that six?
That's enough. I mean, you really, how many players do you play, though? Nine?
No. But I'm just saying, in general, it's not about who you play. Like, James Jones, what he brought to our locker room is amazing.
What UD brings to us.
What UD brings to you guys. Like, these things that you can't put on a price tag on. You can't.
Or a stat sheet.
Because at the end of the day, people have to be able to embrace their role with enthusiasm. Right? And look, for all the Cavs fans out there, because I know a lot of you guys are listening, they're going to be okay. All right? Don't worry about them. Yes, they are. You know why? Because they're in the fucking Eastern Conference.
Yo, relax. It's a great conference.
No, bro. It's not. The Eastern Conference is shit. Why do you think I tried to stay out there as hard as I could? I was just like, so I came out there, because it's like, no, the Western Conference is a monster.
Yo, listen. We all right?
No, you guys are going to be all right. I'm not disrespecting.
If our team, if the team that represents the Eastern Conference wins the finals, that makes us.
That doesn't make the conference great. That, like, you can be like, so remember the years that Memphis was in Conference USA,
but they were our shit. The conference was terrible. Our conference has the best team in the league, so therefore
it doesn't. Therefore, what?
There's just some argument to be made.
There's no argument to be made. There's no argument to be made there. There's no, and that's not.
I'm trying this Duke shit
you're
out.
You're trying that shit.
I should have stayed in fucking school.
You should have stayed in school for. You can't claim Duke when you were there for a semester.
Yo, listen. I was there for three semesters.
Three semesters?
Summer school.
Congratulations. Yeah. Are you going to go back and get your degree?
I want to.
You're fine.
I don't know how realistic it is.
It isn't. What you should do. It isn't realistic. Because you go back, because this is the bullshit about degree. You know, and this is for. We don't have to get into the NCAA and all that bullshit, but for a guy like yourself, how much money you generated for the school. Yes, it allowed you to make money, but if you would have gone to any school, your talent, your ability, your basketball IQ would have led you to the NBA, right? But you go to Duke. You help them win a national championship.
Coach K got that bonus.
Everybody got that bonus, right? The teachers, professors, the school, everyone gets a bonus. Everyone wins. But if you wanted to go back to school and finish your degree, you're going to have to pay for that shit.
Do I?
100%.
I thought you can go back.
I tried.
I think that's an Arizona team.
No, it's not. I promise you.
It's an Arizona team.
I promise you.
Nah, because Mr. Okafor went back and took some classes.
Yeah, you can go back and take some classes. You're going to have to pay for those. They have funds. Some schools have funds.
That's Arizona.
No, listen to me. Some schools have funds that contribute
How much Duke is?
How much Duke is? Well, tell me. I know how much Arizona is because I'm paying for my niece to go there.
How much is Arizona?
It's fucking like $25K this semester.
Is she in-state?
Yeah, she's in state.
Oh.
Yeah, it sucks. How much is Duke?
Out of state? I don't know what in state is. Out of state?
Yeah.
It's private. Does private schools do in state?
Yeah, they do anything.
I think it's like 73.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So this would be, it was 50. You're getting a free education. Yeah, so I saw this thing on the NCAA athletes, right? So let's break this down. So if you don't go to the league, let's say you play football at, let's say, a good school, Michigan State. Right? Or Michigan. If you play and you have four concussions, right? Or three concussions playing for 4 years. Yes, you got an education. Or what if you had two knee surgeries, right? Or if you had a blown back, or if you had an ACL, like whatever it is. Like the point of paying the players is not about they need money. It's about what they are doing. They have health risks that can last them the rest of their lives, right? And we're not saying that we need to pay X amount of dollars to this, and this is an argument, you know, that will go on forever. But
hopefully not.
No, but they need to. They need to. Even if you just had two separate leagues, you had a pay league and a not pay league. Because that's, to me, it's like if you want to get it. Because eventually the pay league is going to be the ones with all the athletes. So they're the ones that are going to be all the TV money. And you can talk about all the fucking purist shit that you want. But the minute you're like, well, where will we get money? Well, you're paying Nick Saban $7 million to coach the football team. Right? Why? Because why do they, and this is what their argument is. Well, Nick Saban generates so much money for the school. That's their argument. But it's off the backs of these players that can have back injuries, that can have this stuff. And so, yes, I have a degree, but what if I have literally disability because I have – you can't walk because I have or too many concussions.
What did Aaron Hernandez have?
He had CTE, but we don't want to get into Aaron Hernandez.
I'm just saying.
No, but that's what they're saying. Like, Arnie, like you can have things that fuck you up.
Yeah.
I think he might have been a little different, though.
Yeah, it's different. But still.
That's like, we don't want to talk about OJ either. But OJ was handing out candy.
Like, OJ. I saw that. I should have been OJ for Halloween. Goddamn it!
No, there's some things that we're gonna stay politically correct on. That is not one of them. Do you want to go as OJ as Halloween?
That'd be tight. Like what? Like in a Bronco riding around, like giving kids candy.
Do you understand that he allegedly murdered two people in cold blood? Allegedly.
At this point, in our society, are we really gonna hang our heads on that?
Murder maybe. Thank you. That like Mervy. It's like some people that wanted to go. Free. Some people wanted to go as Harvey Weinstein, and it's like just bad timing. Yeah. Bad timing.
I wish I would have dressed. I wish I like would have actually gave thought and like not OJ, but like gave thought to do something like.
Did you dress up at all?
I watched the Astros.
You watched as
That's
you should.
Fair.
Game right, six. Fair. Game six. They lost.
I saw the Cavs dressed up quite a bit.
I was so bummed that I missed the Halloween party.
I was going to say, would you have dressed up?
Hell yeah, I dressed up. Last year I went as Barack Obama. I literally had a sign. I had the mask, like the one of the like the Point Break mask, the original Point Break movies. So I just went as Barack Obama. And I had my mask. I had everything. Von Miller threw a party here that our team got invited to. So I dressed up. I did the Dead Presidents. Where you do the like the blood the white makeup or the black eyes. I did that. I stole that from Swish last year. But
how is Swish? How is Henny Swish?
Henny Swish, he says he doesn't drink Henny. He literally said it on the podcast. He said it on the podcast he doesn't drink Hennessy.
I love Henny Swish doesn't remember me, but I used to go to like Lucas and work out with like John Lucas in Houston. And Henny Swish, bro.
Henny Swish.
It may not have been Henny Swish, but it may have been the other Swish.
There's a couple of Swishes. Yeah. There's a couple of different
Swishes. And that Swish fucking balls hard.
Oh, no. Swish goes hard.
No. He's like top five. Top five.
What do you mean balls hard as in what?
Buckets.
Oh, buckets? Yeah.
No, but I mean like.
No, like he can do shit that no one else can do. Like what
no,
makes
like,
you,
seriously,
what
like
makes
he,
you, he can like turn around three, but uncontested. Like there's nothing. Like the shit that he can shoot from anywhere.
But I feel like he legit. I mean, he says it all the time, but he legit likes contested shots.
Yeah,
they're easier.
They're easier probably for him than open because he probably gets it up more. His form is this, but Swish likes to make like fucking hard for himself.
Henny Swish is like an idol.
You can't. He doesn't drink Henny.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. So on here Swish said something that blew people's fucking minds. Right? He said that they like his coffee. He goes 8 creams and 8 sugars. I might have.
Is that the secret to Henny Swish?
That might be the secret to Henny Swish.
Cream Swish.
Yeah, eight creams, 8 sugars, right?
And I'm going to try that tomorrow.
So many.
I'm going to try it tomorrow, and if you see me fucking just like shaking.
I heard that very similar to you, you have a fucking disgusting recipe that
the jalapenos?
Yes. Go ahead and tell people.
Pop belly sandwich shop, you know, PB&J toasted wheat bread with jalapenos.
Is that a real thing? Is it on the menu?
I can't even think
no,
about
you should
that.
Try it though.
That sounds I can't.
But like,
even
come
try
on,
it.
You like sweet and sour chicken?
Yeah.
You like sweet and spicy chicken? Like,
that's
come on.
That's not the same
no,
as
that's
peanut
not
butter.
All right, you ever today we had it. You ever like sprinkle seasoning on like a mango? We did that today.
I've experienced that.
It was it not good?
I've experienced that. I'm just saying.
Try it. Don't. I mean,
there's too many different flavors.
Do you want me to give you an analogy for this? Do you want me to give you analogies? You want me to give an analogy?
You can. Yeah, give me an analogy.
Are you sure you want the analogy that's in my head?
Yes, give me. First of all, that's the beauty of what we can do. We can talk about whatever the hell you want. Tell me your analogy. Tell me your analogy. Because I'm going to be watching you tomorrow. Trust me.
Nah, this
watching.
This analogy is a little too far.
It's not too. I'll tell you this. We can edit it out. So give me your analogy and we'll decide afterward. I promise you. I'll let you listen to this.
Nah, because my brain.
I'll let you listen to this.
Let me
before.
Think of another analogy. Let me think of another analogy.
Oh, God. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, Duke boys are fucking amazing with their words.
And their filters.
My filter. You want to know?
Yes.
I don't know
we
why.
We can edit it out. We can edit it out. Is when I'll let you listen and then you can decide later.
Were we talking about jalapeno sandwich?
Yes.
And how people, some
peanut
people like
butter,
it.
I wanted to
jalapeno.
Hear your analogy.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Does it have anything to do with little hands?
Buttholes.
Buttholes. Keep going. Give us your analogy. You
some people like. Some people like it. I mean, the Gabrielle Unions of the world like it.
Like they, jalapenos are like buttholes.
I mean, it's just a thing. Some people preference certain things over others. Let that marinate. What? Let that marinate.
Can I just, I'm going to take your analogy a step further here and just think about menus.
Menus.
Like, I don't even think that peanut butter and jelly and jalapeno was even on the menu.
So what happened was I went to Potbelly, you know, right off 59 in Houston, Texas. Shout out to Astros. Like my mom used to make the craziest PB&Js with love, like all the time. So I went to Potbelly. I was like, yo.
Wait, I'm sorry to interrupt you. You keep your train of thought. But when you make something with love, it tastes different. When you make something with legitimate love. I swear to God, I ordered a Domino's pizza one day in San Antonio, and my girlfriend at the time, when I was living in San Antonio, I was like, "Tell them to make it with love. Tell them to make it with love." Right?
That shit had no love.
No. I was like, "Tell them to make it with love," and she thought I was a fucking idiot. She's like, "Shut up, shut up." And I was like, "Tell them to make it with love." Could you make it with love, please? Right?
That shit makes a difference.
No, so he shows up. He shows up with the pizza, right? And I gave her money for the pizza.
It's in the shape of a heart, isn't it?
No, no, no. He goes, "Hey, by the way, we made it with love." She gave him like an extra $10 for tip, and I was literally the happiest person in the world. If someone makes something out of spite, you can tell.
Nah, if they really make it out of love, that
sandwich bomb over here. Take your sandwich.
Nah, she should wrap it in tinfoil and everything.
Oh, do you think you can put that in the comments on the online orders?
What? Make something with love. Oh, make with love. Anything that you should do with love. Like they say, find any job you do with passion. Shut up. Anytime someone makes something for you with love.
I'm a hoop in love with love tomorrow and see what happens.
Yeah, hoop with love. No, no.
That's going on. And PB&J with jalapenos.
I don't know if hoop with love.
All right, listen to the story. Back to the story.
Okay.
Potbelly off 59. Shout out Astros. So I roll in. I'm like, yo, let me get a sandwich. You know what I'm talking about? Let me get that, you know, shit. Hook it up.
Is that how you talk?
Yeah, hook it up. All right, so I get the PB&J, and she's like, "You want jalapenos?" And I'm like, "The fuck?" And she goes, "Baby, just try it. I'm going to put on half of it."
Oh, yeah, see, I know that's a black girl. That's a black girl, too.
from New Orleans.
That was the first time. She's like, baby, just try it, baby.
So she put it on half, and then I tried it, and then I came back the next day, and I was like, "Damn!" And she was like, "You want it with bacon, baby?
You want bacon?"
And then I tried it with bacon. Bacon's different. Like, you could put bacon on anything. Like,
True.
But it was good. It was good, but it was like...
The jalapeno was
your joint. Yeah, yeah. Bacon took away from the jalapenos, and so...
That was funny. I knew it immediately. It was like, "You want to try with jalapeno, baby?" So, I also want to give a shout out to have you been to... No, I apologize. That's not the right way to say it. The Ball Boys... locker room guys that are in New Orleans are some of the
funny. Nah, they're cool.
They're funny.
They're
funny
cool.
Shit.
Yeah, they're cool.
No, so
yeah.
You guys don't know this. So like, whenever you travel to different teams,
you almost build a relationship.
You do. 17 years, right? So you've been here for 3 years. No, but I'm saying you build relationships with different guys and different people. So the funniest ones, by far in the NBA, are my guys. No, legitimately, are my guys in New Orleans, right? So these are the guys that work the visitors' locker room. So they'll get towels, they get all this stuff. Thank you. And then they sit next to the bench. So when they sit next to the bench, these are the guys that give us our sweatpants, our towels. They'll get hot packs, water, whatever.
They joke during the game too. No, those guys joke around
during the game. So they'll sit there. They'll sit there and be like, "Oh, y'all about to take this fucking L tonight." And they'll just sit there. I'm talking about, they're literally sitting next to our bench talking shit. Like, "Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anthony Davis about to dunk on you, boy."
"Oh, they're going to dunk on you, boy. Anthony Davis, y'all about to get this work tonight, RJ. You about to get this work." And I'm like, "Man, y'all trash." "Nah, yeah, but tonight we're going to whip that ass." And then you lose the game.
I told you, boy,
we're going to whip that ass. And you're sitting there like, but it's funny because they are the best. Like, in all of the NBA.
Yeah.
The guys.
It's the little stuff. It's the little things
that you look forward to. You go there once a year.
Because only one team wins every year.
Yeah, and so it's like you're traveling around the NBA and you get these spots. And it's literally the guys that work the locker room. The guys that work the locker room in New Orleans are by far the funniest I've ever experienced.
It's tough though because they can't be like too outgoing or like too. No, but once you like kind of when you fuck with them, you're like, "Yo, bro, where the fuck is the food?"
Yeah,
come on, bro.
They're not disrespectful. They're not disrespectful, but they sit there and they're like, They're kind of like your little brothers, or like they're like your boys, right?
I wish I would have done that. I don't know if I would.
That's something though. When you do have a kid, if you want,
so ball boy for sure.
No, so JB Bickerstaff came on the podcast. He's the associate head coach.
The Rockets, right?
He was with the Rockets, but you know, you're a Houston boy. Yeah. But now he's with the Memphis Grizzlies.
Fizz, little Miami guy, little Fizzdale.
Shout out to Fizz. So one of the things that he, JB Bickerstaff, his dad actually is one of the head scouts for the Cavs. What he said he used to do with his brothers is, all right, with his brother is that he used to work, be a ball boy, and he would get like autographs. He would go get autographed balls, autographed.
Yo,
like,
the ball boys work.
They're ball boys hustle. We don't have to tell a secret. We don't want to shout them out.
I mean, they work though. They work hard on their craft.
He used to show up to school and be like, yo, $10 for a Michael Jordan, $5 for a so-and-so. No. And I was like, were they all signed? He's like, some of them were, some of them weren't. But the minute NBA players were seeing, it was like, ah, oh, fuck, little Bickerstaff, what do you want today? Man, can you shine these shoes? And it's like, it's all love because we're a part of a community. You get it. You understand it. But at the same point in time, it's just funny. But the ball boys that work in New Orleans, I want to give my guys a shout out. They're so fucking funny. And they're good because they're respectful. But at the same point in time, when they show up, like, oh, yeah, y'all about to get this work tonight. Y'all about to get this work. You ready for this? You ready to take this L today, RJ? And it's like, once you fuck with them, you fuck with them forever.
I do this thing in New Orleans with a group called Son of a Saints. Not to get too serious, but
no, we can talk about whatever you want.
It's a boys' home basically, and it's for boys that fathers are either dead or incarcerated.
Okay.
And I just fell in love with these boys because these boys, they just treat me like any other. Like they roast me, like yo, boy, you had an Abby boy, like that, the bush need to go, son. You're the old lady right there.
Yeah.
And I just like that New Orleans is.
That New Orleans shit.
Well,
we
got a lot of New Orleans people after Katrina in Houston. So, I grew up with a lot of them. Mm. But just like those kids are just like, they don't hold it back. They don't hold nothing back.
The Players Trip did a video on that with you.
Yeah.
And so we got to see kind of firsthand some of those kids interacting with you. They're just messing around, shooting basketballs, playing video games.
Your jumper broke, boy.
The way they say it, though, like they'll be out there like because they're the ones that are rebounding you before the game.
Yeah.
They're like, "Yo, you gonna make a fucking shot today?" And you're like, "Let me just kiss my ass, whatever." And it's like, "Yo, you want to bet 50?"
Nah, New Orleans is great, man.
Yeah, and these are the things that like when you have an 82 game season, you're doing it long, and you've only been in this league. This is your third year.
What conference have you spent majority?
The Eastern Conference. So I was only in the Western Conference for like probably I'm back now, but I'm probably in the.
You won your rookie year.
No, I went to the finals twice. I lost. I've been to the finals four times. No one cares.
What are you, 1-4, 1-3?
Yeah, 1-3. Yeah, I'm
you
saying.
You got one, though.
I got one. That's all that mattered because I was thirsty for that one.
Real talk.
Because I lost.
You jumping team, yeah, old ass saying, jumping team.
I'm a fucking mercenary, man. I'm a gun for hire. Like, yo, like, you know what I'm saying? I'll come do whatever y'all need. Like, and that was my goal, man, is just try and win a championship. And I tell everybody, man, and you've been fortunate.
Nah, it's respect, though. It's respect.
Because it's what it is. It's like, dude, I'm not in this. Like, I appreciate the money, and I had the time. Like, basketball is not the same basketball. When I was 25 years old and I was averaging 20 points a game, that's basketball. What I do now is not basketball. From this standpoint, my job now is to try and mentor young players like yourself. Yeah. Mentor the young players like Denver. And so all the Denver Nuggets fans, I just want to let you guys know, we're going to get every one of those guys on here. We're going to sit down here. We're going to shoot the shit. You're going to get to know the guys. You're going to be able to relate to them. And one of the cool things is when I first came here, people are like, are you going to continue the podcast? We're going to continue the podcast.
For sure.
And hell yeah, I'm going to continue it because I know that this is an outlet that allows people to get to know guys on a level that they don't normally get to know. So I'm going to try and get every player on here. For some of them, the lovely Katie will be here. We're still working out our road tripping crew when we go on the road. But yeah, no, I'm going to get everybody on here because like when I say that I'm not a basketball player from that standpoint, the game is different when you go from averaging 20 points a game for a playoff team and now you are a role player just trying to contribute. It's a different game. So right now I'm like, shit, man, I'm a gun for hire. You need my services? No. You need my services? Okay. If no one needs my services, okay, then I'm retire.
You got some minutes last night, though.
I did. I was really excited. I scored 1 point. Josh Kroenke sent me a text and was like, congratulations on your first point as a Nugget. And I was like, you dick, right?
That shot went over the back.
Yeah, and I was like, My per 48 is crazy, though.
Crazy. 48.
My per 48 is crazy. For all the fans out there that don't know, they have basketball things. So per 48 gives people to know. So if there's guys that come off the bench for 10 minutes and they score like
respect
8 points.
Respect off the bench.
Off the bench. Hey, listen.
Yo, no. The bench is where it's at.
The bench is where it's at because you get to go against.
Especially like I'm one of those guys right now, at least right now.
For now.
Like,
for now.
I'm off the bench, but like sometimes I close the game.
Yeah, but it's not about. First of all, my rookie year, I came off the bench, but I closed a ton of games. You want to be out there in the close. Like I came off the bench in the finals. And I was out there guarding everybody in the guts of the game. That's what you want. Because starting the game is something – sometimes it's about tempo. It's about this is how we want to play.
I mean, it's a rotation.
It's a rotation. This is a matchup thing. But who we end the game with means that you're either playing well or you're important to what we're trying to accomplish at the last segment of the game. Yeah. So, yeah, it's not about how you start, about how you finish this thing. So
shit, that's what I tell the ladies. Not how I start, it's how I finish it, girl.
Here we go.
How I finish it.
Here we go.
I finish it. It's over with.
Well, Justice, man, I just want to, one, let me say this.
I get a shout-out segment?
Yeah, whatever you all want. Right. No, rephrase this. I want to say thank you for coming on. I do appreciate this as a player to player, as a guy that's kind of watched you grown up, respect for like your legacy, your family. I don't give a shit about Duke. But I respect the fact that you were. I respect that you won a national championship, even though it was with Duke. Because
it was easy.
Because college basketball is shit right now. That's why it was easy.
What do you mean?
It's shit. Well, college basketball is shit. Whatever. Anyways, like you said, you can't even watch it anymore. Point being is this. Thank you for coming on. If this is something that you would like to do with your teammates, please let me know, man. I know the Miami.
What are we gonna call my segment, though?
We can call segment. You can call it fucking road tripping with you.
No.
Oh, you want to call it something different?
Yeah, we can call it something different.
What you want to call it?
Some,
you know, we gonna
got
call
good
it.
Name.
Yeah, like
you got a good name.
What you want?
Justice Winslow. That's un.
Come on.
Justice with the players.
Yeah. Whatever you want to call it, you can.
I
want
to talk to those like not. I don't want to say troubled. But I want to talk to those guys that are like you know kind of going through it. You know.
But hear their side. But what I do doesn't have to be what you do. If you want to talk about people in fashion, if you want to get down to Houston and talk to football players, baseball players, like we've had Lindsey Vonn on here. We've had Mike Trout on here. Yeah. We've had Mike Trout on here. We've had football players. We've had everybody on here. I'm just opening this invitation up to you. I know the Miami Heat fans, the Duke fans, the Houston fans, they would all love to hear your voice. You're articulate. You're intelligent. I wish you would have gone to a better school like Arizona.
Here comes the Duke shot.
Yeah, but yeah, it's coming. Like you can't get one or two compliments without saying. But is there any like I want to know, man? Do you have like books you want to shout out? Do you read? Or are you a movie guy, TV show guy?
Nah, not much. I guess right now, some friends and I were starting our own little collective group.
Collective? How so? Like, what does that mean?
It's not an
Odd Future type group.
No. It's just artsy. It's music. It's photography, film. It's DJs making playlists. Yeah. It's the artsy thing. Well, 7 days collective.
Well, dude, I would like this to be.
You want a shirt? When we get the shirts, you'll be
100%. We'll shoot out the shirts because one of the things, like I said, one of the things that I want to do is like, yo, if you want to add this and have your group on here, and that's gonna be it. This platform is for however you choose
Let's
to use
it.
It doesn't have to
I
be
like
basketball.
This aspect of it.
That's the best part about it.
Yeah.
We almost out. Now there's still some in here. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying whatever you want to shout it out, however you want to do
Let's shout out the Astros. That's just
shout out the Astros.
Deshaun Watson, man. Yeah. I know the struggle. I've been through it. You're gonna be all right, man. Yeah. What else is there?
Yeah. So
Miami Heat.
Miami Heat. So again, hey guys, I want to thank you guys. I know I didn't dip into much of how annoying Channing is. Because I just wanna make sure you guys know. You guys are gonna hear so much shit from Channing because I was there to buffer him and call him out. Like when Channing talked about last season, when he was like, see, the coach, he said this to me. And I was like, Channing, he said it to you. Channing, he said it to you. Well, he said it to me with his eyes. And it was like that's the things that like I'm going to miss having that back and forth with Channing. But you guys, you fans are going to have to weed through his bullshit and make sure.
There's a lot of bullshit.
Especially with Channing's goofy ass and all the fucking explaining he was doing on this last podcast. But understand, you guys, hope you guys are team Richard. Fuck team Channing.
What time shoot around?
What time shoot around? Shit,
to shoot Miami around? Heat shoot around is different.
Well, so yeah, y'all shoot around, y'all like taper shoot around. Like, so our shoot around tomorrow is like
tape
10.
For shoot around.
You know, you got that that's Miami Heat. No, you got the there's the Scott Skiles effect. There's the Tom Thibodeau effect, and there's that Miami Heat effect. Like most NBA players, high level guys get 12 years in their career. If you're associated with one of those three programs or people, you get 8 years of your career. That's just one of them. So thank you for showing up. I want to thank my lovely, lovely co-host, Katie Wedgie.
Call her Wedgie.
She
gets it all the time.
Yeah, she knows it.
Thinking it before, and I was like, all right, I'm going to see it.
No. She doesn't like it. You don't like it?
No, I mean,
she's immune to it. It doesn't bother her.
In elementary school, that was a big one, but everybody's always called me
Winge. Yeah. Okay, so Katie Winge. I'm going to shout her out because, you know, just for 2 seconds, like, tell people how we got connected and how you connected with Allie.
Yeah, well, first of all, appreciate you having me on.
No problem.
It's been a blast. So I actually met Allie like 5 or 6 years ago, and I was connected to her through a mutual connection in college. because I wanted to get into broadcasting. Yeah. And Allie was the sideline reporter for the Cavs at the time, brand new. And she has been the most incredible mentor for me, an incredible source for me to go to for, you know, advice on the industry, as a female in this industry, that sort of thing. Allie just kicks butt in everything that she does. So she has been phenomenal. And even though we're going to be competing a little bit on this podcast.
100% competing. 100%.
I still love her and have all the respect in the world for her.
Yeah, she spoke so highly of you. And she was like, Richard, you have to get Katie on. And I'm like, yeah, but we are road tripping. And he was like, well, find a way. And so I was like, anytime we get home, we're good.
There's a... The sorority game resulted in a tie.
The sorority game.
Yeah.
You hate ties.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Tell me, what was it? Who was the sorority?
The text literally reads a tie. They didn't want to keep playing. Fucking bullshit.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, honestly,
I played
in a sorority basketball tournament. Before.
But how do you not keep playing though? Come on.
They don't understand. They're.
Nah, I think the other team didn't want to keep going.
It doesn't matter. That means we win. If you don't want to keep going, if you say no mas, if you say no mas.
100%.
That's a forfeit. We want to keep going. Well, we're done. Okay, we win. And look, even the truth, like, and at the end of the day, make sure you tell her this. Hey, if you guys didn't win the game, just make sure you win the party.
Okay, she's gonna like that.
Yeah, make sure. Just make. Yeah, yeah. She doesn't like it.
Thursday?
No, that's an Arizona thing.
You don't know about Thursday night divine.
First of all, listen. At Arizona, you don't have to win the game
as long as you don't win the game.
Make sure you win.
First of all, Arizona wins the party every time.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's why you guys don't produce athletes.
That's not true. We produce athletes. Aaron Gordon, myself. You want me to keep going?
Yes,
you want
please.
Me to keep going? Andre Iguodala, ever
keep
heard of
going.
Him? Steve Kerr, you ever heard
keep
of him?
Going.
Yeah. Luke Walton, you ever
do
heard of him?
Do you want me to keep going?
We can keep going. We can do this all day. Because we can go to Sean Elliott, the Damon Sotomayors, the Jason Terrys, the Mike Bibby's.
Just let me know when your list is over.
I'm just saying, we can keep
just
going.
Just let me know.
You want me to go?
Because I can pull up this.
We can go to the Channing Prize. We can keep going.
All right.
Like, we can keep going. Understand, like, when it goes to who's had the most draft picks in the last 20 years, like, we are toe-to-toe. And we
have
toe-to-toe.
I think it's more like we are toe-to-knee.
No, my ass, it's toe-to-toe. And we had a shit ton more fun.
Facts.
Yeah. That's all that matters. And for
more
that,
fun losing.
And for that, my ass, whatever. So, and for that, guys, I just want to thank Winslow. I want to thank Katie for coming out. This is another episode.
What was that, Katie
Winslow?
Another episode of Road Tripping, RJ versus Channing. Love you guys. Make sure you guys go check out.
Go Duke, motherfucker.
I want to make sure that you guys go check out the NBA Road Tripping Now, hosted by Annie and Kent and Mike Muscala. I think it's going to be really awesome. I think they're really, really going to do a good job and give you guys a new perspective. I don't care if she's going to piss off.
Let
me finish my goodbye. All right. And for that, we are out.